SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good post-summer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever it is. completely worn out. The season, the summer, 2018, hit the finish line. So much really to kind of take in and appreciate this morning and next couple of days. Catch the breath collectively and get ready for everything that comes next, including Keeneland Sale and the run-up to Breeders' Cup and just so much. It's a mixed, you always have that mixed feeling on this Tuesday when you wake up and have to completely shift the mindset and get Tina ready to go to school, which she did this morning. And the routine changes completely. She's been doing her part to keep me on track and in position the last 7 weeks. Now I got to turn around and help her and get her off to a good start at school. Well, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, and at our website too, stevepick.com. A great finish to the seasons. You had two-year-old boys on both coasts. Del Mar, it was the proverbial other Baffert game winner, the candy ride for Gary and Mary West. And that famous potent duo, Bob Baffert and Mario Gutierrez. What? Oh, that was one of the funnier parts. I thought it was everybody's reaction to, wait a minute, that's Mario Gutierrez up there. How did Mario Gutierrez end up riding for Baffert? It was pretty funny. Samantha Siegel had a tweet saying, "What?" I was surprised too. I really hadn't thought about it. The performance, obviously, there of Roadster mirrored Chasing Yesterday. Both of them coming off the maiden performances, and then kind of just running. I don't want to say bad races, but they just weren't as sharp as they had looked in their wins. Roaten setting the pace. I mean, I think all three of the top finishers from the Futurity yesterday, and then you turn your attention to Saratoga, and maybe I was a little less surprised when it came to the upset by Mind Control, only because we had Sal Cumin on TV on Sunday, and we talked about Mind Control and his opportunity for Greg Sacco. I mean, Baffert, here's the fun juxtaposition, and that is that for Baffert, it was his 14th. Just It's just insane. 14th futurity. It for Greg Sacco, not just the first hopeful, obviously, but his first grade one. And Greg Sacco, I mean, has been winning races a long time and been doing it for the Brunetti family. And this is a Brunetti homebred out of a mare that he trained, Feel That Fire, by the utterly obscure Lightning and Thunder. And Feel That Fire, she won the Blue Sparkler. And this is a Stay Thirsty colt, you know, that certainly had won, ran well at Delaware behind the Good Call Paul. And then breaks his maiden at Monmouth, you know, very stylishly. Drew John Velasquez, the one thing you wondered, I mean, how much pressure, how much pace pressure was there going to be with him breaking from the two, you knew, and getting Johnny aboard, you knew he's going to go forward. In the maiden breaker, he did not need the lead either. So, looking forward to talking to Greg Sacco about strategy, but Mind Control, I don't even want to say rested the lead from Nitrous, because it did feel like Ricardo Santana kind of went ahead and said, okay, if you are looking for the lead, go ahead. And that was it. Mind Control just absolutely managed, and Johnny managed the lead from there. And he was terrific. You know, Mucho ran okay, and he kind of ranged up and looked like he was going to just continue on past. And then all of a sudden, mid-stretch, you could see, even approaching mid-stretch, you could see that Mind Control wasn't going away at all. And Mucho went off a little over even money. You know, pursued him to the wire. Nitrous hung in there nicely to be third. The Sombaye was trying to, you know, get to them, but there was no, you know, there wasn't much happening on that front. And Dreammaker got kind of pinned down inside, and Leperoux was trying to extricate him, and it was just too late. So a mild, 10-1 price wise, it was a bigger, you know, price wise, it feels like an upset, but this was a nice horse that had run, you know, two races that absolutely fit. I mean, if you're a Thoroughgraph user, you knew that Mind Control was a player in here, because figure wise, the only horse that was ahead of him on the figs was Mucho. So 10-1, a nice price for those that headed in that direction. And of course, you had the circumstance in the Bernard Baruch where you had a thrilling three-horse finish, and it really didn't include, at least one in Voodoo Song, of the horses that you would have thought. And Kurban for Kieran McLaughlin and Shadwell, Shake Hamdam, at a Spitestown 5-year-old. And this is one of those great stories that you get with stakes a lot of times, and we've heard it this summer a few times. A horse that was looking for an allowance race, didn't fill, didn't go, and so Kieran went here. And, you know, first North American start for the 5-year-old that proves highly successful, wins the Bernard Baruch under Herat Ortiz Jr., who won himself the riding title and all the various summer venues with the crowning winners when it came to Del Mar, Traden Van Dyke. That can be traced back to his mammoth, what do you have, 7 wins that day 2 weeks ago. And that propelled him to his first riding title, Southern California Circuit. Congratulations to him. Talked to him early in the meet, and so easy to be happy for him. He had a great weekend, in fact, not only crowning a riding title, he won for Mark Cassie on Saturday. Haven't even gotten to some of those stakes yet. Ride a Comet. Went out to the Del Mar Derby. Van Dyke got that call. And then, of course, yesterday, and the turf, his turf prowess, his ability to ride that turf course, which is a tricky designed turf course. We talked about it a lot, particularly going into Breeders' Cup, with so many riders coming in that might never have ridden it at Del Mar. But, you know, a course that Corey Nakatani and Kent DeSormo done a terrific job for many years. But Traden Van Dyke also won on Summering yesterday, the Warfront for Tommy Proctor. And this is a serious juvenile Philly turf player heading toward Breeders' Cup. Van Dyke aboard that one as well. And, you know, since I'm just touching on the Del Mar Stakes, Jeff Bondi and Mike Smith, they won the Surf, the CERF, and that was with Miss Sunset. And Bondi had won on Saturday. I haven't talked to Jeff Bondi in too long, King of Speed. And that was that Gary Stevens win 100 at Del Mar that I brought up with Jay Pridman. Jay's going to come back today, and he'll talk about the upset with Game Winner before he goes on a little freshening, a little vacation, and a little bit more than just a vacation. Let's see if he wants to fill us all in. But summarizing Del Mar and Saratoga, coming back, I mentioned yesterday that when Chad Brown was going to be feted in with the Alan Jerkins title, the training title, and his top client, Seth Klarman. Seth told Dave Greinich, he considers the owner's title something of a lifetime achievement award. And he's come close. I mean, but it means a lot to him. Seth Klarman has been in the game a long while, has had tons of success, and it puts a lot in. And he and Chad Brown had spectacular summers. 21 wins between the Klarovich standalone and Klarovich Lawrence, Bill Lawrence. And Bill Lawrence campaigning a few more horses in his own name now. And Seth campaigning as Klarovich. The story I had to bring forward yesterday, Brian Morgan and Chad dedicating the meet to his brother-in-law, was taken last week, just on Thursday at the track and just a the saddest, really the saddest note from the summer here. But record-setting summer for Chad Brown. The business side of it, as a quick aside, despite the weather and how much it impacted, particularly the middle, sort of the, call it, I don't know, day 7 to 20, 22 in that section there, that third of the meet, give or take. 50 races taken off the turf, and the last few years, in fact, Dave Greinich gave these numbers, 27 and 26, and 3 years ago, only 8 races taken off the turf. Crazy. So despite that, they ended up having the second highest summer of handle behind last year. So business was good, and they had a great season at Del Mar too. The numbers were fabulous at Del Mar. That was a great summer of racing, and in fact, they were up almost 7% at Del Mar, and at Saratoga, I'll tell you that on a per horse basis, the numbers were terrific. But you can't. What are you going to do? Listen, you had a rainy portion of the summer. Everybody adjusted. Everybody made the best of it. And certainly, another 20, I don't know, 20-something thousand yesterday, and it's always, everybody's kind of, begging for the wire, but at the same time, sad to see it end. And Chris Kay did say yesterday, for those that are wondering, and those that are asking, and, that are supposing, 40 race dates next year, and they will make a decision down the road here as to whether it's going to be over 7 weeks or whether they go to 8 weeks of 5-day week racing. That's still up in the air, so we'll see. No, the first couple of weeks of Saratoga, they're definitely going there. Oh, July 4th, we'll be it. Just oh my God. we're going to come to Saratoga this year in March. Actually, we're going to race at Saratoga for 6 months next year. Ridiculous. We'll take a break. Lots to absorb and recap. Chris Clement later, and much, much more.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back on the races, 20 minutes in. I've got quite a bit of the result-oriented discussion to have. In fact, Paul Matisse will join us tomorrow. I think he had to see either tomorrow or Thursday. I want to get some summary from Paul. Dick Powell later this morning. We'll get some from him as well, and look toward the last 3 weeks of the meet at Presque Isle. John White will check in. Bob Baffert, who certainly had a nice weekend. The performance that certainly, not under the radar per se, but Sunday in the Prioress, I mean, Dream Tree, she was tremendous on the return. And the Saratoga season actually marked a couple of, you know, I mentioned Chad Brown and Seth Klarman, separation of powers, don't forget. And she's headed to the Cotillion for what, you know, should be a pretty nice collision course, the Cotillion. And Pennsylvania Derby is going to come up good, too. We'll worry about that in about 10 days, but I'm anxious to get Baffert's reaction. It was kind of a mixed bag, really. I mean, think about it for Baffert between, okay, comes away with a futurity win, but had to be a little frustrated or disappointed with Roadster yesterday and Chasing yesterday, Saturday. So, we'll get to Baffert, and I told you, Chris Clement. And yesterday, speaking of Clement, pure sensation, unbelievable. Third year in a row that he's won the Turf Monster. 7 years old, and the Generazios, amazing, just amazing. Pure sensation. Had gone, you know, to Philly for the Park's Dash, had finished behind Vision Perfect and Pool Winner. Here he turns the tables on them, holds off after getting past the Vision Perfect. Did not throw, you know, drop anchor. He fought and kind of was coming back on Pure Sensation, and in the meantime, in Primus and Rainbow Air. And there is a story to be told about Rainbow Air. It's kind of cool. Rainbow Air returns from stud duty. And I talked to David O'Farrell this morning. I reached out to Jason Service, and he said, talk to David at Ocala Stud. And, you know, my assumption was that, you know, when I saw Rainbow Air back in the PPs the other day for this race, I thought, well, he probably had a fertility issue, or, you know, just didn't get the mares that he covered into foal. That's not what happened. He only covered 31 mares. And part of it was that he got a late start after that. You'll recall at the time that we thought Rainbow Air's career was coming to an end, when he won at Gulfstream, that turf sprint on the undercard of the Pegasus Day, and off he went to stud. But that was pretty late. And he really didn't, you know, 31 mares, and I'm sure quite a few were New Farm and Novak mares. So when he finished his cover season, they were looking at him. He was in terrific shape. It's not like he got heavy. He got plenty. He got all the mares into foal. And they said, you know, maybe we could enhance his reputation and awareness going after the Breeders' Cup. And so they sent him back. They shipped him up to Monmouth. And Jason Service got him and said, you know, he looks terrific. And it won't take much to put him in race shape. And he got untracked late. He was making the classic Philadelphia Park late move, even though it was on the grass. He was motoring, and he got to the leaders just a jump too late. Got beat a half length for everything. Trevor McCarthy aboard. And McCarthy had ridden him quite a bit going back to last year earlier in 2017. So that's the Rainbow Air story for those that were wondering. And I think their hope is go to the Breeders' Cup, build a little bit more of an awareness, and then bring him back to Florida and let him stand the season. It's very unusual. I'm looking forward to talking to Sid Fernando tomorrow, and because I asked David O'Farrell, do you remember any stallion in recent memory going to stud, having no issues in terms of fertility and you know, the ability to cover mares, and then going back to the racetrack? And I'm going to give Sid that assignment. But pure sensation. Christophe Clement, will talk to Chris, and we'll also talk to him about the win at Kentucky Downs, because the juvenile filly winner missed technicality, the Gio Ponti, on Saturday. So, and Chris's horses were running well the second half, particularly the second half of the meet here at Saratoga, too. And you're to blame, we should mention, for the Bortolozzo team. And Todd Pletcher won the Greenwood Cup over 3-5 war story. They basically sparred all the way around. And you're to blame, Paco Lopez aboard. Kendrick Carmouche had gotten back on war story, and Carmouche almost sweeps the two stakes. Let me grab a call. I see Rick. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make Rick hold like this, case. He's still there? He is.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Rick, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Just want to say real quick, I'm a big fan of the show. I was at the Fastest Sit-In with Jonathan Kitson and Peter Fortitelli for their premiere, and that was awesome.
Nice.
Yes. I have a question about yesterday in the futility, Del Mar. Baffert has two horses, as you know, and he was talking Roadster up a storm, and he was saying that he may replace Justify and how great he is, and of course Mike Smith rode him. But in my racing form, they didn't have Mario Gutierrez listed as the jockey of Game Over. And they had another jockey who had never ridden for Baffert. And being on the East Coast, I don't have access to that information, really. And I made my wagers, and I didn't use the other horse specifically because I didn't think Baffert would use that jockey in a grade one race. He thought he had a chance. And when the race is over, I'm watching him in the winner's circle, and he says, oh, well, we didn't know what jock to use, but Mario Gutierrez is a pretty good jockey. He's won two Kentucky Derbies, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, you know, if I had any idea that he was going to ride him, I would have used him. I felt a little misled by the racing form information.
Well, what was my I didn't print PPs until the final was out. But so my PPs, my DRF PPs had Gutierrez named at that point. So he may have. Who did he name originally?
Piero. I don't have him in front of me right now.
Okay.
Piorello. You could help me with that.
Pereira.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Yes, Pereira. Yeah. And, of course, you know, he's a good jockey, and he brings good value. I just think at a grade one race, I don't think, you know, I would have given much more thought to Gutierrez than I would have to him at this point.
Well,
my race form didn't have it.
Well, again, when it comes to this, and it's funny you bring this up, because yesterday I relayed the story of my own ineptitude on both Saturday and Sunday, having crossed off horses that I thought were scratched that both ran, and it cost me both days. But it's one of those things. You know, the changes, you have to either go to Equibase, although you would also have seen the change, I imagine, on your ADW platform, too, when you went to bet.
Well, I went to off-track betting.
All right. I hear you.
I went to Albany Capital OTB and in New York, and I was there about 12:30 in the afternoon to get my wagers in. Of course, that's 9:30 California time.
Right, so the changes weren't in.
You know,
I hear you.
The information wasn't available, or I didn't have it yet. But you know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, last night I did some really good handicapping. And I was alive to the pick five if I singled Roadster, and I had all in the last race.
Oof.
And when everything was said and done, and I saw, you know, Gutierrez in the winner's circle, I said, wow, that's too bad, because I definitely would have used him.
Yes.
If I had known that jockey was on him.
Hey, and that's tough, because then you had the 20-1 shot win the nightcap, and the thing. And I know it paid a nice number.
To make matters worse, of course.
I can only, you know, it just so happens that I had not printed the Monday Del Mar PPs until yesterday morning, until before the show, and the final PPs have Gutierrez when, you know, you have those late changes the day before in California. We've discussed that with Hammer many times, but that change must have come on Sunday officially, because I have him in my own, and he's also listed as the rider on the quick sheet that would have been done on Sunday afternoon as well. It's just one of those late changes that you might have just slipped through. Listen, I think Baffert was as surprised as anybody that game winner won yesterday. He has expected that horse, because he came up with me after he broke the maiden, and I mentioned him to Baffert, and he said that this is a horse that'll be a nice two turn type. So I think he was a little surprised. I got to relay, if you've never heard this story, my Mario Gutierrez story, which goes back to Oaks Day, the year that I'll Have Another won the Derby. And, you know, we had talked obviously to Doug O'Neill as I'll Have Another was making his way, you know, through the Triple Crown season, into Triple Crown season. And I tell you who you can ask, if you see Caleb Keller from TVG, you can ask him this story. We rode up in what is now the mansion elevator, but we were going up to the press level. And Mario Gutierrez was in the elevator. This is on Friday. And he looked so wide-eyed and like a deer in the headlights. I've told this story before. And I'll have another. It wasn't high on my pecking order list for Derby that year. You know, but I didn't think he was impossible. I saw Mario Gutierrez. He looked, I'm telling you, he looked like he was 11 years old, number one. And he looked like so out of place and so overwhelmed by the atmosphere at Churchill. And I thought, this kid can't, how the hell is this kid going to, how is he going to win a Kentucky Derby? Well, he's got two so far. It's unbelievable. That's my Mario Gutierrez learn my lesson story. So it cost Rick yesterday, and it cost me that year. And I wasn't a big Nyquist guy either. Actually, now that I think about it, I don't know. So that was the talk yesterday, though, with the Gutierrez for Baffert. So Rick, I feel for you. It's hard making those changes, and especially if you're going to bet early. You know, there's equipment changes. There's a lot. It's there's a lot of moving parts. That's what I was saying with Johnny yesterday. Being aware of everything going on is a challenge. It's one of the many things that can conspire against you on a big race day, or really not just on a big race day. I mean, you gotta have your wits about you at all times, and even if you do, I mean, I consider myself pretty conscientious, and I botched 2 days in a row. I crossed a horse off that wasn't out. I mean, come on, what's wrong with me? So Rick, you'll make it up. You'll come back to you on a different day, hopefully. We're going to come back after this quick break. Hope that Greg Sacco is ready for us to talk about winning his first Grade 1. Unbelievable mind control and yet another Sal Kumin racing interest. And if you want to see a fun, I'm going to have Sal on the radio too, but if you want to see what I thought was really, he was really open and direct and honest. I asked him some tricky questions. I asked him about the Audible situation at Belmont time and his business plan in terms of how he is approaching things, and he laid everything out. And I'll send a link. I'll put a link up today to the OTB, Capital OTB page at YouTube. And watch Sal and Sam the Bugler as we go to the break. We had Seth and I had Sam on to say goodbye. And yesterday he played off the stage. He played You Made Me Love You, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Sam Grossman, I've known 20 years. He was at Naira 25, and there's some hope and expectation that he will come back at Saratoga time for some cameos. But as the regular day-in, day-out bugler, I mean, just terrific. A classically trained trumpet player and bugler, and a huge talent, a huge personality, and just a great ambassador. Tromping the backstretch and the stands day after day after day at Saratoga particularly. And he did not come up to Saratoga immediately. People may not know that, but it took a few summers before he really didn't want to go up. You know, he had the two boys, Maurice and, oh, I'm going to forget his other son's name. But then when he started to come up, it really was a natural, and he really served the racing public and Naira well for a long run, and one of our really one of our favorite people. Let's take a break. Come right back.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
To At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back. We're back, and Greg Sacco is going to join us in about 10 minutes. And a couple of things in advance of that, we can actually use it to do some of the recapping from yesterday. And really got a nice, a perfect way to end up the season. And right off the bat, and in fact, if anybody had seen, it's kind of funny to me, I had put up a picture on both Facebook and Twitter as a background, the picture that Skip Dickstein took last year of the Canadian geese flying over the building, flying over Saratoga late in the summer. And if there was a hunch bet off of that, it was Flyaway Birdie in the first race yesterday. And Flyaway Birdie, who, as we suggested, was getting on dirt for the first time. and also was dropping down. And Mark Cassie and for Tina, for his wife, they get away with him dropping in for 50 and winning and going unclaimed. So that started things off, and from there it was really some of the horses that we talked about with Nick, that Mick Aaron, Jason Service, and Waterford. You could rely on him. Even Money, Complexity, who was really good for Seth Klarman and Chad, another McLean's Music for this pair. And Seth Klarman does go back to the well with certain stallions, and Complexity won that nice group. And won well, got a 90 buyer out of it too. And you know, those of you that watched Loose on the Lead, you saw Harold Lerner with us with the after the Alabama. You saw Harold on with us, and Harvey Wallbanger came up, and he said that they had a talented two-year-old that was going to debut near the end of the meet, and to be aware, and 33-1, and he lit up the Exacta Tri and Super Imperator. Patty Reynolds had a great meet, and then the other and the last of the winners for Chad and Seth Klarman, and that was Dominant Strategy, and got a nice all-A $16 play that brought back the pick five, and good way to end. Nick's horse, 6-1 plus Princess Carolina, $15, and then my man, Super G, Gary Siaka. For those of you that didn't bet Cecilia Mike, this was a trip horse. His last two races had traffic and all kinds of issues, and pays a fat $21.20. That was super. And Bootlegger couldn't be caught under Louis Reyes, and I keyed off a pocket player, another trip horse. Tommy Bush had the worst luck at this meet, and the pocket player ran a terrific race but came up just short, and that was it. And he even got a pretty nice price at 15-2 on the Sunshine, the gal winner of the nightcap. So a great way to finish what I thought was a terrific meet. And the same thing was happening, of course, across the country. Jay Pribman was with us yesterday, but he promised a return before he goes on a little sojourn. Jay, it was the other Baffert.
Yeah, it was, with Game Winner winning the Del Mar Futurity. Roadster just kind of flattened out, just didn't really finish the race off well. Game Winner had a great draw, great trip, and proved best. I actually thought for most of the race that Roe Waiton was going to steal it. He just had opened up a big lead, and he was going well on the far turn, but he just kind of got a little leg weary and didn't change lead coming through the lane, and Game Winner was able to run him down.
And Baffert, combining with Mario Gutierrez, we've already had some fun this morning, kind of... kind of like, what? Who? Where did that come from? It was kind of funny.
Yeah, no, not someone he uses much at all. So that was a nice pickup mount for Mario.
Very much. And of course, the interesting thing, when this horse won, and this is a Gary and Mary West Candy Ride, not a West homebred. They've got the program that they engage in with John Secura at Hillendale, of course. This was a purchase, $110,000 as a Keeneland yearling out of the AP Indy Mare, Indian Giving. And Baffert, you look at that pedigree, Jay. I mean, this, and you look at him physically, I mean, he looks like a two-turn horse. So for him to be two for two at this point, going three quarters and seven-eighths, this may be another serious player.
No, very much so. You're right. He is a big, strong horse. He does have the pedigree to do, you know, to go two turns. He's by Candy Ride. He's out of an AP Indy Mare. And, you know, the other thing about yesterday's race, Steve, is he was coming back on short rest and he still won.
Yeah.
It was only 16 days off his debut. Now, I mean, he was well bet in his first race, but the expectations were that he was going to run well, but maybe not be good enough to win going six furlongs. And the hope with him was to get a couple sprints into him before stretching him out. And so, because they do think he's going to be better going two turns. And one of the things about winning you know, you win a maiden race this time of year, you're pretty much, you've got to go into a stake. It's not like there's first level allowance races. Most of these stakes are pretty much glorified first level allowance races, because most of the horses have run just one or two times and have one win for most of them. And so this was just the natural next best spot for him, rather than just try and train him up to his next race. It was, well, let's just get another race into him. And then when he worked well last week on Wednesday, it was his final work. He had a best in the morning drill on Wednesday morning. So between that and the draw, it was like, you know, why not? And then, you know, let's face it, the management of the assets of Instagram and Roy Layton, you know, was not an insignificant factor here. Instagram was not in this race. He was held out for the what's now called the American Pharaoh. It used to be the Front Runner, and before that it was the Norfolk, for those of us who remember the old Oak Tree meeting. And, you know, that he would have been favored if he was in here. Now, who knows if he'd have won or given Game Winner a run for his money, but that was, I'm sure, a significant factor in deciding, you know, let's run both Game Winner and Roadster from this barn.
Well, this is a storyline that you've brought up before, which is, run them when they're right in the spots that that are offered. And you know, we also had a similar, somewhat similar storyline here in New York, to have Mind Control come up and poach this, and we'll talk to Greg Sacco shortly about coming in and taking the hopeful in impressive fashion. And by the way, speaking of impressive, 93 buyer just posted here for Game Winner Jay, and very nice number in a second start.
No, I mean, it was the 2 year old racing here. We talked about it a lot over the last few weeks. And the 2 year old racing out here this summer was very encouraging. I mean, the one race that just is still kind of a head scratcher for the way the summer went was the debutant on Saturday, where they just came home so painfully slow. And the track, the main track stretch is really, really deep and tiring. I mean, you could see just most of the races that they were coming home very slowly, but that kind of took it to a weirdly odd level, especially when you consider the quality, the apparent quality of that group of fillies and what they had done coming into the race. But other than that, we saw just a series of really sharp performances in the race yesterday. I mean, that was a fast time over the way this track is. So that, it's not surprising that the number came back as well as it did. And like you were just saying, it bodes well for what this horse is going to do going forward, because he's supposed to be better as he goes longer.
What did Baffert have to say about Roadster? And I suppose you group his disappointing effort in with chasing yesterday. They both performances looked kind of similar, Jay.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, chasing yesterday never really finished off.
True.
Never even really
That's
got
true.
Close. And she kind of sucked back. You know, the spray of dirt obviously impacted her in the race on Saturday at Saratoga when she was running in the spinaway. She just really resented getting that spray of dirt. And, you know, Mike Smith was just covered when he came back after the race. But Roadster was a little different. He was in position. I mean, he was to win the race. He was right alongside Game Winner when they both started to move after Roleton. But he just couldn't go. Well, he couldn't keep up with Game Winner, and he just kind of went evenly through the stretch, just sort of flattened out. And Baffert said that he was just, and the word he used was disappointed. I mean, he didn't sugarcoat it. He was disappointed with the way Roadster finished off the race. So we'll just have to see if what's in the future for him. But that was not as good as we would have come to expect based on his advance notices and what we saw in his first race. And so we'll, in the next few days, we'll see what the plans are for those horses and how they're doing. But he was disappointed in the way Roadster ran yesterday.
Well, and from the Hollendorfer and Larry Best side of things, they also have to be a little bit frustrated with all the anticipation toward this closing weekend with Brill and with you know, the potential for Roaten, who stepped in for Instagrant. Got to be a little disappointing for them as well.
Well, I mean, Brill, they're just scratching their heads over her because she trained, as Hollendorfer said yesterday. I mean, he said she trained better than any horse in the barn the latter half of the meet, and he fully expected her to run lights out Saturday, and she just didn't show up. She came out of the race fine, so they're really kind of at a loss as to why she regressed so badly. She had plenty of time. It wasn't like she was back on short rest or anything like that. It was just a really inexplicably poor race that they're still trying to wrap their head around as to why she ran so bad. I mean, you can't blame the track. She'd won on this track earlier in the meet. You can't blame the quick turnaround. She just didn't show up. They're really puzzled about that. You know, Roaten ran well. I mean, he's not as good, I don't think, as Instagram, and he almost stole the race yesterday. So, I mean, if they're disappointed about yesterday's result, you know, there's a percentage of that that's a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, I hear you. Meanwhile, Instagram, we should mention, ended up the single leading betting interest in the future for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, away from the main track onto the grass. And one of the other stories, Jay, that finished out the season, you know, really in glittering fashion, was Drayden Van Dyke and the 7-win day that put him in contention for a riding title, and then he saw it through and capped it off part of yesterday with summering for mentor Tom Proctor and of course Craig Burnick's Glen Hill Farm and summering. She looks like a serious force heading toward the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies on the grass.
Very much so. She's now 2-for-2. Her first race really stamped her as a exciting prospect, and she won his best yesterday. Drayden told me after the race that she continued to gallop out well and just acted as though there was a lot more in the tank, even though she only won by, what, a length and a quarter or so. He said there was more there going out after the race. He's extremely excited about her, and he's not a BSer. I mean, if he thinks a horse is just okay, he'll tell you that. And so you can just tell from talking to him that he thinks summering is the real deal. And you know, as for Drayden, his first title at either Santa Anita or Del Mar, so he was extremely excited about that. As you mentioned, the 7-win day is what catapulted him, pun intended, toward contention. He had those two grass stakes wins with Catapult during the meet. Obviously, Catalina Cruiser was a big pickup for him, and rode him to a couple stakes wins as well. And he was able to maintain a comfortable margin over the last week over Flavian Pratt and win the title, and he's obviously extremely excited about that. We've sung his praises on the show for a while. I just can't say enough about the way he conducts himself, the work ethic he has in terms of being out early in the mornings always and working horses. It puts in a long day in terms of being out in the morning and working a lot of horses and then obviously riding a pretty full plate in the afternoon, and he just does it all with the utmost integrity. He rides extremely well on all surfaces. He's always been just almost like a savant on the grass. It's just going back several years. I mean, I think grass riding is something that when the really best grass riders seem to develop into grass riders and learn how to do it, and he just seemed to have a knack for it from the get-go. He just is a terrific grass rider, and that's where he really started getting most of his initial business, especially from out of town. Like, for instance, people like Graham Motion would use him because they recognized how good a grass rider he was, but he's not pigeonholed like that or typecast like that anymore. I mean, he sprints routes, turf dirt, it doesn't matter. He's he can handle all of it, and he was a deserving winner of the title when you consider all that he accomplished during the season here.
Well, some final summer notes, Jay, from Del Mar before you get yourself a well-earned break.
I mean, it was a great meet. Stakes racing was terrific. The 2-year-old racing was of a very high quality, and obviously when you see that kind of racing, it gets you excited for the future when you want to see how these 2-year-olds develop over the coming months, not only towards the Breeders' Cup, but if, you know, through the winter and into the spring when they're going to be the ones for the spring preps for the races like the Oaks and the Derby. So those are exciting things. I mean, the emergence of Catalina Cruiser and the Pacific Classic Tour de Force of Accelerate were highlights of a sensational stakes season for John Sadler and the Ronis brothers. Ronis brothers were the leading owners for the fourth time in the last 6 years here. Peter Miller ran away with the training title. He won 31 races, which was 10 more than runner-up Doug O'Neill. And it was just a really fun meet. I mean, the three things that were, you know, unfortunate were the injuries to Corey Nakatani and Victor Espinoza, and then obviously the situation Sunday night when they had the officer-involved shooting, which fortunately was, you know, there was the potential for that to have been worse, and fortunately it was not. And from a business standpoint, Del Mar did great. Up, you know, handle was way up. The weather was very cooperative, and I just think all in all, it was just a terrific meet. You know, field size was way up too, and I think that, you know, when you get strong field size, that is going to in turn generate interest in betting. So it all is tied together in terms of field size continuing to increase, the handle increasing. Obviously, the changes that were made in terms of the tax laws has helped across the board in terms of handle in this country. But I think what the product that Del Mar was putting out on a regular basis was really top notch. There's going to be dips. You know, the second, third and fourth weeks of the meet, you get a little light, but boy, the beginning of the meet, and then when those horses start cycling back towards the end, it was really, really top-notch racing. It's a fun summer.
Here as well, and the parallel tracks, they come to an end at the same time, and we turn our attention toward fall. You're going to get some time off. Doing anything interesting this weekend?
Yeah. Ann and I are finally getting married after going out for, what, 7+ years. So we're having a Los Alamitos time off wedding. We're not getting married at Los Alamitos. The late Larry Bortstein got married in the Winner's Circle at Los Alamitos to his second wife. Yes, we're not doing that. And then a little honeymoon after that. So that's on Saturday. So that'll be fun.
Well, we wish you, of course, mazel tov and years of happiness. And since you're going to Charleston, you're going to want to know about Husk.
We know about Husk.
All right, good job. How about the Hominy Grill?
Hominy Grill for breakfast. Yep. No, we're
look at you. You're on top of it.
We did our homework.
Holy cow! How about Fig?
Fig, yes. Fig's on the list. No, we've done. We've got some barbecue lined up. We're gonna have. It'll be fun.
I'm very impressed. If you run into any trouble, you can go see my. I've got. Ex-girlfriend's family owns George's Loan on King Street. So if you need any help, you can go see Swede in right on King Street.
Do we know?
Best pawn shop in the South.
Best pawn shop.
It's a pawn shop.
I hope we're not in that much trouble or beyond this endeavor. We need to see a pawn shop. Good to know.
Jay, thanks for everything. A great, great, great summer, and I can't wait to see you. We'll talk, obviously, but we're all pointing toward the return trip to Louisville for Breeders' Cup. So things are shaping up nicely from the 2-year-olds.
Should be a fun fall, and I'll talk to you in a few weeks when we get close to the Santa Anita fall meet starting up.
DRF Privman, everybody, the Daily Racing Form, America's Turf Authority since
Marty McGee was born.
That's exactly right. That's the right. 1959. That's so great. Jay Pribman, everybody. Let's take the top of the hour break. Speaking of two-year-olds, Greg Sacco ready for us, and really excited for Greg. His first grade one win, one of the just one of those New Jersey racing families like the Dowds and, you know, so many that have called Monmouth their home base. And Greg Sacco brings up a Brunetti homebred. It's been a great year for the Brunetti racing team, the Red Oak Jacket, the white, the red dots. The second grade one for them, actually, because Unbridled Mo, she won the Apple Blossom. So two grade ones for the family of the late John Brunetti. Greg Sacco, next at the races, hour two.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer sire.
Are you on?
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.